Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host, Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the qualities that make up your internal essence. When you get to know who you are in those heart qualities, as we call them, you can begin to live from the inside out. When you let your heart matter, you're going to be able to claim control over your choices and over your creations. Each week, we explore one quality of spirit or heart quality, as we call them. And if you will sign up, you will know ahead of time what that is, because we can email you the heart quality each Saturday morning. You can meditate Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and begin to really get to know who you are around that energy. Everything that we do, think, and feel is energy. And if you know who you are around that energy, you can be conscious in bringing it into your life. So we ask you to join us, not only in the energy of the week, but in joining us in meditation each morning from 6:30 to 7 Eastern Time. We meditate. We'd love for you to join us. So to get on with today, the energy is grace. The little saying that I've written with it says, grace underlines the beauty and goodness in the world. You know, Russ, you think of grace, you think of gracefulness, you think of the grace of God, you think of a heart full of grace. I mean, a whole lot of words that use that. And coming to a consensus around all that, I think we have a generalized idea, but it's big. Mm-hmm. It was hard to bring it in from the vastness of grace, you know, that you see in the fluid movement of two dancers, that you see in the beauty of nature, that you see in the face of a child, that you see in someone's heart expressing in a pure form. It's a big, broad subject, and so it was sort of hard to draw it in. I meditated twice, and I got two different images. The first was the twining energies that move up a person's spine as they acknowledge their heart and as they get bigger in the light of their heart. But I thought that would be hard to talk about. So I meditated again this afternoon, and the image I got was a white rose. That represents to me all of that purity and beauty that is part of grace. It just puts an underline under goodness. You feel it when you see it. And then when I thought of the rose, and then usually we start with a story, but my image that went along with that energy was the white rose. And when I took it from that right brain picture into my left brain, instead of getting an explanation about the rose, I got my story. Mm-hmm. We usually tell a story that we think of. And this was the recent play that our children did, mm-hmm, on peace.
Right.
To me, that was grace. They were underlining, they themselves represented the beauty and goodness of life, but the story of peace and the way they brought it and how they had come together because two people had dropped out and they had to come together and cover each other and work together and flow together, and all for the purpose of bringing a message of peace. They had written their music for by themselves, the background music, the accompaniment music. It was just a whole symbol to me of grace. You know, the beauty of it, the goodness of it, of the children themselves, and they're flowing towards something bright and good. You know, mm-hmm, grace has that upward movement that I saw in my first meditation, and it's like they so wanted everyone to get this message they were bringing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very moving play, and these were children from the ages of 9 through 14 that presented this, and they did an amazing job. What came to you?
Well, you kind of throw me a curve there. Now I'm thinking about my meditation and my story. I don't know which one to share first.
Sorry about that.
The story that came to me that, you know, I always try and pluck something from my own life that sort of shows where I start with that energy from. It's like me telling somebody my history so that they can know my beginning point, and then I'm going to tell them what I discovered in my meditation, and they can kind of compare it against where I was, and you get to see, you know, what new piece was added because of the meditation. So where I started with grace could be summed up in a story from college. I got somebody gave me some tickets just out of the blue. They couldn't go, and they gave me two tickets to a ballet. And I'm not much of a ballet person. I would never have gone on my own, but they were free tickets. And so I asked somebody to go with me, and we went to this ballet. And it turns out it was Mikhail Baryshnikov. He was in town with the Atlanta Ballet, and it was amazing. He was a little past his prime at that point, but he was still an amazing dancer, and it was the first time I had seen anybody dance like that. And it sort of convinced me that dance is moving art. You know, I didn't think of it in the same category as a Rembrandt or a Picasso or something, you know, because they've captured some moment up on canvas and it's perfect. And the dance, you know, it goes and then it's done. It's very temporary. But the way he danced, I began to think of dance as an art form. This is the same as painting or sculpting. It's just moving. It's just a temporary moving art form. And the grace that he had when he danced, it was like all the other pieces that he brought, because he could dance passionately and, or, you know, show off his strength or his creativity, but all of it was sort of wrapped in grace. And I began to see that the grace was kind of the connecting thing that took the strength and the creativity and the passion and wrapped them all up and made them into an art form. Because each of those things by themselves would have been impressive, but they wouldn't have been art. But it was the grace that sort of was the saran wrap that went around the outside of that and made it all into one cohesive expression of art.
And obviously he was able to, as I saw in my first meditation, that flowing upward, always flowing upward for a higher cause, for a higher purpose, you know, the grace of God, really moving towards that grace of God, who is the pinnacle of grace. You know, I saw him also. I don't know if you and I were at the same performance, but I watched him also. And, you know, he engaged the audience. Obviously, he pulled you in. He engaged the audience, and you felt uplifted, not just aware of the beauty of his movement, which was beautiful, but you got caught in the energy flow upward, feeling that you were elevated from that performance, went away lighter.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So that's kind of where I started with grace. My meditation led me in a slightly different place. It was more of the grace of God, because in the meditation, the image that came to me was that one of the first, maybe the second year, that we did a big community garden here at Ottawahee, we planted some sweet potatoes. And we harvested what we thought were all of them. And then at the end of the season, we dug up that area to plant something new. And we came across a sweet potato that we had missed that had been growing in the ground that whole time. Well, actually not one, but several. There was like four or five that we had missed the first time. And they had grown to about the size of a watermelon. And nobody wanted them because they were like, oh, that'd be tough. And, you know, you can't, how am I going to eat all that? But Jennifer, my wife, is a huge sweet potato fan. And she was like, oh, I'll take one. So she came home with this sweet potato the size of your head and, you know, baked it for like 8 hours to get it to soften up. And we sat down to eat that night. And normally, growing up in the South, when it's dinner time, you pray over your food, but we always called it saying the blessing. But Jennifer's from New York State, and apparently up there they say grace. That's mm-hmm. what you do when you sit down to your meal, you say grace. And I remember her bringing out the sweet potato and then asking all of us, can we say grace? And so we said grace over this sweet potato, this giant, huge sweet potato. And I remember just sort of a shift. You know, I went from thinking, good Lord, look at this monstrosity, to really feeling the blessing that God had given us this gift. You know, at the end of the season, we didn't even think there were sweet potatoes left. Here's this huge one that's going to feed our whole family. And I really felt in that moment that everything, every creation that appears in front of you, that is given to you by God, is wrapped in that grace that holds it all together and makes it a huge work of art, a beautiful, moving expression. And that what you do when you pray over your food is just clear your own attitude out of the way so that you can experience that grace that's always there around everything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my image was of the energy moving up. It's like the energy moves up and touches something of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We do talk about stories that come to mind and images because we're really trying to help you to see that when you have an image in your mind and an understanding of that image, the two parts of your brain come together to make it more yours. If you just have the image, it's fleeting because the right brain images go away, much as they do when you dream.
Mm-hmm.
You have images and they go away. But then if you have an understanding, it can go away too, just like you do when you walk out of a college course and you don't remember anything after the final test.
Right.
But when you bring the two together, when you have an experience that is an image with feeling and has a picture to it, whether it's in life experience or in your right brain experience, and you have an understanding that goes with that, then it's more readily yours.
Mm-hmm.
So we're incorporating your left, right side, your male, your female, the mother, father, God. We are trying to help you to see that you are made up of a composite of qualities from your spirit that are your spirit that need to be acknowledged. You know, this week, I picked one day and made it a point to ask some people and then to ask myself about some people, well, what energy, what quality or heart energy are they bringing me right now?
Mm-hmm.
And some, because I teach that here at Ottawahee and I ran into some Ottawahee students, I was able to say to them directly, and what heart energy or what quality are you bringing me? And, you know, they would stammer and stutter and look embarrassed sometimes. But sometimes they would be able to answer me. And it's not that these aren't heartful people and not that all of us aren't intending to be. But that consciousness of it, it's like we meditate in the morning and then we forget who we are for that day.
Right.
And then we go about our task and we think whatever question we need to answer and we answer whatever question comes up. And you know, we need to bring that consciousness of life all the way down if we're going to have grace in our life. Yes, the grace that we experience in life takes us upward and makes us lighter and more connected with all that is. But we have to bring that grace down. It's a connection both ways. And we have to bring it down. And we have to be able to consciously say, okay, this is an energy speaking from me, feeling from me, expressing and doing from me. That way we begin to live from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
And did you want to add any more to that?
Well, the piece that you were talking about where you get the experience, you know, the the linear understanding of it. This happened. I know why it happened. And then the picture, the feeling, the knowing, the ephemeral right side of your brain. You get those to come together. That reminded me a lot of a CD we did. I believe it's The Energy That Surrounds Us, where we talk about getting your spirit self and your conscious self to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And on a smaller scale, I think that's what we're trying to do every time we meditate and then consciously try and live from that meditation. That
yes.
Day.
And if you're new to us, you can find that CD, The Energy That Surrounds Us, on our website, JackieWoods.org website. And it would help you to understand that energy of grace. It's a big energy. It's an important energy that makes life valuable. It makes you feel more connected to everything, but at the same time, it brings everything into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We have a word from one of our sponsors. The Ottawahee Wellness Retreat. If you want to get away from it all and go home healthier after you've had a getaway, the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat offers all the amenities of a bed and breakfast plus access to a health food store, a fitness room, peaceful walking trails, and 10 alternative healers. This is a place where retreat becomes renewal. So check it out on the Ottawahee.com. That's Adawehi. Ottawahee. Ottawahee.com. It's the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat. We have a CD from Kathy in Dayton, Ohio. I have seen people who I thought had grace. To me, it looked like they had complete faith and trust, so they seemed to be fully present. Is that at all real grace? You want to start with that?
It could be real grace. It's hard to just point to somebody and say, you're being in your heart and you're not, because a lot of times we have patterns of doing that were heartful at one point, but then we just keep doing them because that's the way we're supposed to be. And we're not always doing the trick that we talk about in here of centering yourself each day and getting a picture of what your heart would like you to be and then trying to live from that. We just get some, quote, good patterns that we perpetuate because they were very meaningful to us at one time. And if we're not every moment, every day, checking in and making sure that we're living currently from who we are, then even if you're doing very heartful patterns and appear to be kind and present and very generous, et cetera, doesn't necessarily mean that you are living from the inside out.
No, that's so true. I had a friend visit this weekend, and I was talking to her about how my mother introduced me always when I was younger, even as I was an adult, as this is my daughter, Jackie, the sweet one, and this is my other daughter, Nita, the pretty one. I hated that. So for a long time, I hated to even have a pattern that might in any way be sweet. Because to be sweet meant I couldn't be pretty.
Uh-huh.
But after a while, I had to recognize that kindness was an energy I had, but that I had learned a lot of patterns of sweet up to the point I rebelled, because that's what I was expected to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, my patterns of sweet actually covered up the kindness that I really had. So grace wasn't present, even though I still had the label of sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. You really can't go, Kathy, by, necessarily if you're just looking at the patterns. But if you really, like I said, I was really looking to see what energy they were bringing to do that. That's where the grace from God and the grace that they're bringing come together.
Right.
And I had to be fully present in who I was to be able to see if there was something real resonating with me, to see if there was grace present.
Yeah.
It's like you, by saying grace that day at the table, you finally came to a place inside you where you were open to resonate with the grace that came through that food. You know, because you became real before it was just a big old sweet potato that probably was going to taste bad.
Yeah. I had one of my first karate instructors was a little frail guy. Yosuke Inoko was his name. He was the assistant in the dojo where I first studied. And he was amazingly graceful. He had this ability. He'd go up and do these high kicks, you know, just fly up into the air and seem to just hang there for a moment or two. And then his leg would kick out, and then he'd pull it back, and then he'd just kind of settle to the floor. He seemed to defy gravity and just amazingly graceful in the way he would leap and kick. And I asked him one time, I said, sensei, you know, how do you just hang there in the air like that? And his English was not good, but what he said was, I imagine that I am the wind. And I was like, oh, well, you know, that's pretty cool.
So you tried it.
Powerful, silent, you know, invisible, but yet strong and light. I can do that. I'll visualize being the wind. So I visualized being the wind, and I just fell like a sack of potatoes to the ground. I'm thinking, you know, why does it work for him, not work for me? But the more I talked to him and the more I watched him, I realized he was, born and bred Japanese. He was not raised in this country. He came over from Japan. And he was, his religion was a Shinto religion, which is a very nature-oriented religion. So when he said, I imagine being the wind, that was a very spiritual thing for him. Mm-hmm. He was connecting to something very powerful and spiritual inside of himself when he said wind. It wasn't just like, you know, the breeze. I was thinking, you go outside, whoo, feel the wind. Okay, yeah. But no, it was a spiritual moment for him when he would imagine that.
And that didn't hold you up. Huh?
No, that didn't hold me up. But it did hold him up because it meant much more to him
yes.
than it did to me.
Yes.
And that's, I think, speaks directly to that question, you know, how can you tell? Well, if it feels like it's connected to something of your spirit, then it doesn't matter whether it's a pretty pattern or not. It's going to have that grace mm-hmm. in it.
I've been talking to my students a lot about living vertically, and yeah. I think grace is part of that living vertically, that mm-hmm. that you have to, you experience the grace at both ends. and it's that grace that does the connecting. And you know, when you were talking about the nature, him being a part of nature, you know, that connection with nature is part of the grace of God that we are given in the very essence of God in all the four elements of fire, earth, air, and water that connect to our four lower chakras. And mm-hmm. and in fact, we have a CD that would fit with this a lot, right, what we're talking about. It's called Your Relationship with Nature.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And that would really fit in with grace because, mm-hmm. again, that's that higher-lower connection, that living vertically with all that is around you and all that you encounter, whether it's a sweet potato or the flying sensei.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah. We have another sponsor we need to acknowledge, if I can find it here. Oh, yes, Amy and Brian coconut juice. It's perfect for this hot weather. You put it in the refrigerator and drink it. It's so refreshing because it's a natural isotonic beverage that is high in potassium and other electrolytes. It's great for any active lifestyle because it's natural rehydration. And since it's made from the water of young coconuts, Amy and Brian coconut juice does not contain the added sugar or artificial additives that you're going to find in other sports drinks. It absorbs into the body quickly, and this is important because it resembles your body's plasma in its salt concentration. So stock up today with Nature's Sports Drink, Amy and Brian coconut juice. We have another CD from Martha in Atlanta, Georgia.
And by CD, you mean email?
I mean email. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. I do that a lot. This is an email, not a CD. Sorry, Martha. Isn't grace kind of like a big exhale, not trying to be something instead allowing? How can I access this feeling when I'm super busy? Well, I think that that's key in what I said earlier in bringing that awareness of who you are as an energy being and realizing that what you're doing, feeling, and thinking around your busy schedule and activities that life has put in front of you keeps you consciously aware of the grace of the Spirit. It makes all of those qualities of Spirit, which are the essence of grace. They underline the beauty and goodness in the world, in you that bring it into the world, and make you aware of it in the world, that resonance we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so easy to get caught up in the busy.
Yeah.
It is so easy to get caught up in the excitement, or in the sadness, or any number of feelings or doings, or in the worry of something, or even the problem solving. Anything that stimulates our thinking, our feeling, or our action, we have a tendency to leave out the Spirit. Mm-hmm. We let it override when the Spirit has to be the lead that the other three follow. Did you want to add to that?
Yeah, this is not so much to do with when your life is busy, but this is a trick that I use when I know that you know I'm about to be hit with a bunch of arguments or conflicting feelings or something like that. For instance, if I'm really upset about something, and it usually comes to me either, you know, on the way to work or after work, I walk home through the woods, and that's sort of my processing time. The trip there and the trip back through the woods helps me get in touch with what's going on with me. And if I become aware that there's something that I need to bring up with my wife, something about our relationship or our family or something, I will, before I go home, I will stop. And in my office, I keep a picture of our family that we took at the beach years ago. My youngest daughter was like 3 years old, and the older one was just five, so it was a long time ago. But it was a wonderful picture, and we're all just kind of squatting there on the beach, and somebody snapped a picture for us. And I've had it blown up into a big 8x10, and I keep it in my office because it sort of epitomizes the best of what our family means to me. And so I'll look and just stare at that picture for a while and try and get back in touch with the grace of our family. And then I'll go home and have that conversation and say, honey, you know, I was really mad when you cut me off while I was trying to discipline the kids or whatever. And being able to know ahead of time, I'm about to be challenged to hold my focus here. You know, it's going to get busy. It's going to get hectic. I'll get upset. The other person might get upset. Knowing ahead of time that all that's coming, I'll just focus on that picture, and that helps me hold the grace of the best of who we could be during those times when I'm pointing out, you know, perhaps the worst of what we've been.
Mm-hmm. I had an encounter with one of my students who I asked, she had brought some communication, but I needed a bigger picture of communication, and I was asking for that with another person that was standing there who I felt could help me, and she felt snubbed and that I wasn't acknowledging what she brought. And she got really mad at me. She thought I had snubbed her and not acknowledged her, and she had a wound about not being acknowledged. And so in dealing with that, I had to really stay focused that, all right, what's important is the grace of communication here. Or I would have gotten totally into just her feeling. And I could acknowledge her feeling. I had to acknowledge her feeling and acknowledge my feeling and acknowledge what was being said and acknowledge what needed to be done. But if there was to be grace in that situation, I had to, some part of me had to stay focused that, okay, the grace of this whole situation with all of the interaction that's happening is communication.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I if I'm not able to do that in a circumstance, then the grace doesn't get to come all the way through. Even if there end up being happy words and happy actions, it's not the grace, because it doesn't connect you to something higher, to God's grace, that if we don't have that, then the grace that we experience down here is really just patterns that feel good.
Right. I can see that.
We have another, I got it right this time, email from Louise in Columbus, North Carolina. She says, growing up, there was no seeing beauty and goodness in the world. It was not until I began being with the energy of grace that I could claim it as my own. I saw it in you, Jackie, and your husband, Rodney, when you danced together. But I didn't believe I had it. Thank you for showing me that in your dance. Well, thank you, Lou. Thank you very much.
That was nice.
And, you know, when we dance, we can have a great deal of grace, but that's because we have joined and are resonating. If we've got anything going on between us, all that grace that we might have in our movement, that connection of our love and coming all the way down into our bodies, gets lost and we step all over each other.
Yeah. It's about creating a clear channel.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you want to add anything?
You know, I think even some of our ugliest, clumsiest places, the patterns we don't like, the things that we're no good at, really, it's like, you know, saying grace over that sweet potato. The grace is always there. All you have to do is clear yourself so that you can see it. I remember when we were growing up, my brother was all about, you know, making sure that he got what was coming to him. You know, I was more of like, well, you know, whatever, you know, your piece of toast is bigger than mine, so what? It'll work out, you know, I'll get something bigger down the line. I was very much not making a fuss over things, you know, it'll all come out in the wash sort of thing. But he was all about making a fuss if there was even one little smidgen that looked like it was more that I got than what he got. And I found that distasteful. You know, I thought of that as whining all the time and just complaining, and I didn't want to be like that. And so as a result, more and more as I grew up, I would let things slide. You know, oh, well, whatever, you know, that guy gave me one hot dog, but I paid for two hot dogs, but whatever, I don't want to whine about it. And so I would wait till things got really out of balance, you know. I paid for 10 hot dogs and I got one. Okay, now I've got to go confront the guy, but now I'm really mad at him. He's a bad person because he's making me into a whiner. I've got to say something about it now, so now I'm a complainer. He forced me to be something bad. And, you know, which is ridiculous. Nobody's forcing me to be anything. It's that definition I carry around that says equality, asking for equality makes me a complainer.
Mm-hmm.
But the situation forced me to look at that definition I was holding, which is actually a piece of grace.
Mm-hmm.
That's God saying, you know, you deserve to be equal, and you've got this silly definition, and I'm going to put you in a situation that's going to show you that silly definition. And that's a piece of grace. But you're never going to see it as graceful until you know, clear yourself, bless that situation, and say, what is this bringing me? What art form, what gift, what wonderful moving example of divinity am I being shown here, and where am I blocking it? Not where is it missing from the situation?
Sort of like the ballet dancer has to go through a lot of falls before the graceful jumps.
Yeah.
We have to have those circumstances that are the beginning of grace, but we really think of grace when it's full-blown jump.
Yes.
We have usually a time when we talk about baby steps, and I was wanting to share a baby step that might help in grace that I assigned to myself to do this week, and I've asked others to do it in the past, and I've done it in the past. And that's the 2-to-1. You know, I mentioned earlier about being conscious about who you are all day and making sure it goes through. But we're all, to stay conscious all the time is almost impossible for most of us, I think. Maybe other people are conscious all the time, but I miss it sometimes. And I have those moments when, like you say, you know, when you didn't want to be the complainer or whiner and you had to really look at that.
Mm-hmm.
When I get something I really have to look at because I'm complaining or whining, or just feeling down, I've said to myself, with any of those, quote, negatives, I'm going to find two positives.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of a way to climb the ladder back up to grace and to remember again, who am I and what am I doing here? What is my purpose on this planet? What is my main quality that I want to impress upon the earth in light form today?
That's a great suggestion. You know, my baby steps that I thought of sort of spring from that last question. The first one I thought was, bless your day. Go beyond just saying grace over your food. Say grace over your day. At the beginning of the morning when I've had my meditation and I know, okay, today is going to be about strength, or I got a picture of communication or something, whatever came to me, I'll go ahead and complete that meditation with a prayer saying, I ask that I be clear enough to see this when it comes to me in forms that I don't like.
Yeah. You know, when I was younger, it was a habit of mine to repeat the Lord's Prayer every day, and I would say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the beginning of grace.
Right.
Recognizing the sacredness of all life and the hallowedness of everything that is what it meant to me.
Yeah.
We have another email from Diane in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I experience grace in nature. I have rarely experienced grace in the human interactions during my life, and I avoid people because I hate feeling the absence of grace. How can I train myself to see and promote grace in my relationships and not just in nature? Very, very good comment. I think many, many people experience more grace in nature than they do with people, because nature is more real and hasn't developed some of the cover-up patterns that keep the realness from being there. So how do you avoid? Do you want me to start or you want to, Russell?
I'll start with that one. You know, the second baby step that came to me, and we've already touched on it, but it applies directly to this question, is at the end of each day, you know, I bless the day in the morning, but at the end of the day I go back and I journal about all my experiences, good or bad, and I bless them. I say, you know, whether I liked the experience in the moment or hated it in the moment, I bless it, not to change the experience, but to change me, because I really believe that God's grace is wrapped around every moment, but we have to be clear enough to experience it. And so I write down, you know, I locked my keys in the car, I hated that, that was a stupid thing to do. And then beside it, I write, and this experience I bless so that I may receive what I'm supposed to learn about it. And maybe it comes to me then, maybe the next day it comes to me, but there's always something that you're supposed to get from that experience. It was part of your day for a reason. It wasn't just a spin of the big wheel of fate to throw a little thumbtack in front of your tire. It was there to help you, to move you upward, as you say, and if you don't catch it in the moment, you can always journal about it at the end of the day and see if you can't find the grace in it instead of just writing it off as a bad experience.
Yeah. You know, what I said a minute ago about my baby step, I think would apply to this very well, too, is that my poor husband, he's going to be an example. I asked him to take something and put it in the freezer, and he got sidetracked and set it down before he got to the freezer, and that was last night, and I found it this morning setting out. Now, I'm sort of fanatic. After a meal, I'm quick to put things in the refrigerator so they won't go bad. And I was very upset because it was superb soup. I really didn't want to lose that soup. You had some. I gave you some for
it. Was very good
it
soup.
Was excellent.
It'd be a crime to waste.
It was so good. So I was very upset. And I had already promised that my assignment would be to think of two good qualities while I'm upset of his lack of completion in that quality. So I made myself expand a little beyond that negative moment and say, okay, well, this is completion, and I can bless my completion, but I'm still mad at him. Hadn't quite cleared it yet. So I didn't have grace around that. But when I was able then to say two good things, I was able to say, you know, he supports me tremendously around my health. He's mm-hmm. tremendous support around the energy of health. And we have wonderful play together. So I could acknowledge the support, the completion, and I mean the support, the health, and the play. So I got three just thinking, trying to think for two.
Uh-huh.
And all at once, that completion that had been so huge and so ugly didn't seem so big and ugly
mm-hmm.
because I had brought grace, just like you said about the sweet potato.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have another email from Teresa in Asheville, North Carolina. Thank you, Teresa. I recently turned 50 and my body is going through many changes. I feel like I am resisting the aging process. A wise person told me that I have grace and I should bring it to my aging, yet I feel so awkward and uncomfortable in my body. How can I age gracefully? I'm sure a lot of people can identify with that one.
Well, I think that aging gracefully is like doing anything gracefully. You have to find some way to connect that activity to something that you consider to be part of the divine. It's like my karate sensei and his image of the wind. You know, it wasn't just a visualization. It's real easy to say, I'm going to walk into that room and I'm going to be a graceful old lady bringing my sprightly step. And you've got a picture of what it would be like to be a person aging well. But that's not the same as it is when you connect to something that is an essence of spirit for you. Just like I could imagine being the wind, but that didn't make my kicks graceful like his, because the wind was a very spiritual piece of nature for him. That was part of his divinity. So you have to find some piece of what represents divinity for you. And it may be in nature. It may be anywhere in your life. Anywhere where you've experienced grace, that's a point that you can hang on to and say, okay, this is what grace is for me. How can I bring this into the aging process?
You know, Katharine Hepburn, the movie star, she's not alive anymore, is she?
I think she died, yeah. I'm not sure.
Anyway, she in her later movies, you know, she was palsied and old, but she had grace. And I just admired that in her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was an inspiration to me as I've aged. Because she had such life within her
mm-hmm.
that she didn't, even though the body does go through the aging process, that life within her did not die
mm-hmm.
until she decided to take that life through the silver cord and leave her body
mm-hmm.
in death, if she did, I'm not sure. But that's what a person can do. You know, they can just keep their body alive for a long time. They can have lots of plastic surgery, make it look good, and that's fine. But the what gives them grace is that essence, and that's what we talk about on this radio show. We're trying to get everybody to have grace.
Right.
Is to recognize that these qualities of your spirit that we call individual heart energies, because they're energies that come from your spirit or your heart, and they should infiltrate your thinking and your feeling and your doing, and that is bringing grace, the hallowed be thy name, all the way into your life. And it then helps you to be one with all of nature, with what people bring you that's real. And everybody doesn't bring you real. They bring you patterns that aren't real. And they do things just out of habit, or they forget things. And yes, those may upset you, but when you clear the upset, it can be filled with whatever grace is needed, if grace is what you're continually connecting with.
Yeah, in simplest terms, if you are living from the inside out, you are bringing grace.
That's right, and that's what we're trying to teach. And it's just an amazing thing to me that everybody doesn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
They want answers. I've done hundreds and hundreds of radio shows through the years with other people being the host, and I didn't want that on my radio show. I don't mean to I don't want to answer questions, but what they wanted was not an answer of who they were and how to bring themselves into life. What they really wanted when they would call into these shows was, give me a quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
And the only quick fix is to know who you are better, so that that comes in and fills those spaces. We have another email from Sam in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know if this is the same Sam I knew in Atlanta, Georgia, but I knew one. Are all happenings in the world the grace of God? How could we find two positive things to feel about evil in the world, like terrorists? You want to start?
Well, that one sort of ties in with what you were just talking about, that I had a conversation with somebody one time, and I described it as uncreating, that what we like to call being powerful is having the ability to make everything bad in our life go away. And if you acknowledge yourself as a piece of the light of God and creator of your world, it doesn't just happen to you, you're creating it from your energy field, so that you can learn your lessons, so that you can get a chance to bring your spirit out into the world, so that you can shine your light on things. You're creating your life. What you experience is your creation, and you don't create it just so that you can turn around and uncreate it. And that's what we consider to be power, and we feel victimized by the world and threatened by all these outside evils because we can't snap our fingers and make them go away. If I could point to a terrorist and say, be gone, and poof, he disappears, I would say, oh, I'm the most powerful person in the world. I have the grace of God inside me. I can uncreate all the bad things. And that's not really what we're here for. We're not here to just point to things and make them go away and thereby feel good about ourselves. We are here to take the situations that crop up, and some of them will be scary, and some of them will be evil, and some will just be devoid and empty of anything real. But all of them give us a chance to bring some quality from inside of us out into the world, whether that be kindness or understanding or patience or safety or whatever we need. We're given a chance to be that, to express it, to live from the inside out. And without those outside situations that set up that opportunity, we don't get a chance to be that. If there was nothing scary, you would never get a chance to be courageous.
You know, Sam, we were talking about people that have patterns that where their spirit hasn't made it all the way down. Well, there are groups of people that make it, join together out of some other purpose other than to bring who they are in their spirit all the way down. And so we have evil that happens in the world. But as Russell said, those are just spaces. I mean, we may not zap them out in a minute, but by filling the consciousness of our planet with the opposite of that, you know, with equality or with love or with peace or whatever, when you bring that into your life and it comes with grace, so that it not only comes into your life, but it raises you up to a higher level. That's a powerful addition to the consciousness, energetic consciousness of our planet, where all of our energies merge together as light or as dark thought patterns, dark feeling patterns. And that light then can fill those dark spaces that are left empty. As long as you're actively engaging in being negative, there's not much we can do. But when that's left empty, it can be filled. It can be changed. And progress has been made on the planet. Now, I don't know how fast we've been. Obviously not quite fast enough in being aware of the ecology and our problems and what needs to be done. But there is a change in the consciousness. People are becoming more conscious. There's more people that are recycling. Now, that seems small, but that's a change in the consciousness. We're trying to find cars that don't use up so much gas and have all the fumes and all of that. People are being conscious. That's because the care and the love of the planet has changed. The grace has come down and has infiltrated. And the Lord's Prayer says, "Hallowed be thy name, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." That is grace, all in action. All right, we have another email from Beth, Ann Arbor, Michigan. "Remember, there but for the grace of God go I. My mom said that any time another person had bad luck, like God decided who had luck and who didn't. I'm hearing we all are God's grace. Is that true?" Well, I think we all have access to God's grace, but we only have access as we acknowledge ourselves as part of that. We have to acknowledge our spirit, and then we have to, we can say we are spirit, or that we have a soul, and acknowledge that, but we can't really get to know it until we break it down into the qualities that we're talking about on the show, and that we look at each quality as an energy that has the ability to come through and energetically infuse our thinking, our feeling, and our actions. Do you want to add to that, Russell?
You know, I would just add my reminder about saying grace over your food or your day or whatever, that, you know, I was all prepared for that sweet potato to be way too tough and not satisfying at all. But blessing something, saying grace over it, is really just saying, please let me get my judgments and my upset out of the way so that I can experience the gift that's here.
Yes.
Because it's always a gift. Either it's a direct gift or it's a space where you get to bring your own gift.
Yes. We have another sponsor, BountifulBuys.com. This gives you a chance to go green online. You get to reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique at BountifulBuys.com. They have clothes, accessories, gifts, and not only will you go easy on your pocketbook, but it will go easy on the planet. So be sure and check out BountifulBuys.com. It's an easy way to shop. We have an email from Ann in Mooresville, Tennessee. "Where is Ottawehee? How did it come to be?" Well, Ottawehee is located in Columbus, North Carolina. Just over the border from South Carolina and where Georgia comes to a point there, but we're in North Carolina. And it came to be, it was a vision of mine years ago, that community would be the next step in evolution for people. They would need to learn how to come together, and we have an intentional community here where we're all about being healthy in body, mind, and spirit, and emotions, that we are all about bringing light through the healthiest, being a healthy vehicle to bring light in the biggest possible way to the planet Earth. And we have been here 12 years now. And Ottawehee is a place where you can come and have healing practitioners to work with you, where you can have healthy food, where you can have healthy walks on our walking trails, be with people who are working out in the gym where their focus is really bringing the energy of health all the way down. It's a place where you can come to be healthy. If you can't get here physically, you can join us online because we have classes. We have continuing education courses for massage therapists, music therapists, counselors, and social workers. Mm-hmm. So you can join us online. You can join us online by the listening to the radio, by taking courses, by checking out our growth resources, or you can come visit us. It's a wonderful place. We're right at the foothills of the Smoky Mountains. It's beautiful to drive up into the mountains. There are beautiful views, wonderful waterfalls, and the energy at Ottawahee is magnificent.
We're off Highway 26, halfway between Spartanburg and Asheville.
Spartanburg, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that question. And don't forget to check out JackieWoods.org. Don't just check in for the radio show, but check out all that we have to offer. Browse while you're there and see what is available, because that's how we're bringing Ottawahee to you. We feel like we have what we have here is something special. I have calls regularly for people who are really interested in intentional community. But there's all kinds of intentional communities. There's those that are intentional just about ecology, which we are, but that's not our main focus. Our main focus is growing in health through all four parts of you, body, mind, spirit, and emotion, so that you can bring these heart energies we talk about more fully into a place of grace. Did you want to add anything to that, Russell?
We've talked a tremendous amount today, and we've sort of summed up a lot of different subjects under this heading of grace, because it sort of does that. It wraps up all that we are trying to do with this radio show and with the growth resources that we offer online, which is teach people to live from the inside out, to every day focus on bringing some divine, sacred piece of themselves out through their actions and expressions, so that their life fills up with divine light instead of just fills up with empty patterns of doing.
And no one feels their patterns are empty, by the way. They think their life is very full. But if you're searching to fill your life up from the outside, you're going to have to keep searching and searching and searching. And each little thing will fill a space, but it won't fill you. Mm-hmm. Because you can't pull it from the outside in. It has to come from the inside out. So we're grateful that you're listening to us and empowering this concept on the planet. We're very grateful that you've come to listen to us. Remember, we have archived shows that you can listen to. And we invite you to put us on your Facebook and your Twitter and let other people know about us. Thank you so much for joining us.